The Guardian.
You know, sometimes I think you begin by thinking that you might have criteria. You know, you might have columns where you mark for plot and character development and all those sorts of things. But I believe probably all of us, you know, threw that idea out of the window, because what actually happens is you start reading the list and some books just kind of jump out at you. They're just exceptional, remarkable books. And it's been interesting to me, very interesting, that although the judges come from very different backgrounds, at both the longlist and shortlist stage, we've arrived in the room with our ideas about what should go on those two lists, and there's been enormous overlap between us. So that in the case of the longlist, we only had to meet for 40 minutes to decide the 13 books that we were going to settle on. In the case of the shortlist, it was a slightly longer meeting, but actually, you know, most of the meeting was about the kind of fringes of the decision. Substantially, we had agreed upon the list.
So how about the decision to leave Salman Rushdie off the list?
Well, of course, no such decision was made. The decision that was made was to include six books on the list. And I think it's important to stress that. You know, we didn't arrive there asking ourselves, is Rushdie on or off, any more than we asked ourselves, is any other book on or off in that sense? You know, this is a kind of levelling process, and each book is considered on the merits as we see them. And I think it would be invidious, really, for me to say anything else other than that we had to settle on six books, and in the collective judgment of the judges, the six books are the ones we've named, and the Rushdie book, The Enchantress of Florence, is not one of them. Obviously, we thought it was a good book because it was on our long list.
Quite an exciting shortlist that you've come up with, though, with two first novels, a spread of places around the world where the authors are from, where the books are set.
Yes. I'm very pleased with that. I'm pleased that we've got two first-time novelists. I'm pleased that we've got a good geographical spread. But I don't want you to be misled into thinking that we had some kind of politically correct process where we, you know, were looking for quotas of new novelists or quotas of you know, different nationalities. It wasn't like that. We decided upon the books as they struck us, the quality that struck us. But that doesn't prevent us feeling a certain pleasure, certain satisfaction, that we've got two first-timers there and that we've got this spread around the world.
Yeah. Any personal favourite?
Well, that, of course, can only emerge at the next stage. I'm hoping at the next stage, because we work well together, that we'll be able to make a good decision. Certainly, I think we'll make a decision in which we respect each other's views. That's very, very clear. And we'll make a decision on what, you know, collectively we think is the best book, not some sort of compromise that nobody's really happy with.
And you said earlier that it's a very readable selection of books that you've come up with, the final six.
They all seem examples of really good storytelling. They're very engaging stories. They are exciting. They're page-turners. In several cases, they're epics. They're historical epics. But your engagement in every case with the small-scale story, the story of the characters, is very great. Terrifically written stories. And by saying that they're readable, I don't want to in any way make them sound as though they're easy. You know, I would say they're approachable, but in many ways they're meaty. And I don't just mean the fact that three of them are long books. I mean that they have, you know, a lot of stuff in them, in the sense of a lot of human emotion, a lot of truth about the human condition, a lot of interesting historical narrative. So I wouldn't exactly call them an easy read, but I would say they were approachable, and I would say they were page-turners.
Excellent.